In the heart of Mary E. Pearson's richly imagined world, Dance of Thieves has captivated readers since its 2018 release, becoming a New York Times bestseller and fan favorite in the young adult fantasy genre. The novel's unique blend of romance, intrigue, and high-stakes political maneuvering has earned it a devoted following, with celebrities like Emma Watson recommending it on her book club list. What makes this story particularly compelling is how it expands Pearson's Remnant Chronicles universe while standing firmly on its own merits. The book's exploration of identity, loyalty, and the blurry lines between right and wrong resonates deeply with readers navigating their own complex moral landscapes. As we delve into this tale of a skilled thief and a reluctant ruler, we discover that the most dangerous theft isn't of possessions, but of hearts. Kazi of Brightmist wasn't born to greatness. She was forged by the merciless streets of Venda, a city where survival demanded cunning and swift fingers. Orphaned at six when her mother was struck down by a reckless Pravizi driver in the marketplace, Kazi learned early that justice rarely favored the poor. She survived by transforming herself into Ten, one of the city's most notorious thieves, named for the number of fingers that made her legendary among the street children. Her nimble fingers could liberate anything from oranges to precious trinkets, but she developed a particular specialty in punitive stealing, taking items of deep sentimental rather than monetary value as personal retribution against those who wronged others. She became known for her precise targeting, a cherished locket from a merchant who cheated widows, a family heirloom from a guard who abused his power. Her life underwent a dramatic transformation when Queen Leah of Venda, herself once an outsider who had revolutionized the kingdom, discovered her talents during a palace infiltration gone wrong. The queen offered Kazi a stark choice: face imprisonment or channel her skills into service with the Rotten, the queen's elite guard. Under Leah's careful guidance, Kazi transformed her thieving expertise into sophisticated weapons of justice. She learned to read ancient texts, master multiple weapons, and decode political intrigue. Though she struggled with severe claustrophobia, panic attacks seized her whenever walls weren't nearby to provide security, a legacy of years living in narrow alleyways, she excelled at manipulation, infiltration, and close quarters combat. Now, 6 years after the great battle that claimed 20,000 lives in Sentinel Valley, a massacre that still haunts the survivors' dreams, Kazi rides with her fellow Rotan members on their most crucial mission yet. Her team includes Natia, the skilled archer with an encyclopedic knowledge of poisons, Ren, the silent knife expert, and Sinov, their master strategist. Their target is Captain Ilarion, a traitor whose tactical expertise helped orchestrate the bloodiest war the continent had ever witnessed. Intelligence suggests he's found sanctuary in Hellsmouth, a lawless settlement controlled by the notorious Ballinger family, who've operated outside kingdom laws for generations, maintaining their own form of frontier justice. For Kazi, this mission transcends mere duty. It represents personal redemption for past failures and a chance to prove her worth to the queen who saw potential in a street thief when others saw only a criminal. Her reputation within the Rotan remains complicated. Some still whisper about her questionable past, while others have witnessed her unwavering loyalty. As they approach Hellsmouth, the ghosts of Sentinel Valley whisper warnings that Kazi has learned to mostly ignore, though their voices grow louder with each passing mile. What she doesn't realize is that her greatest challenge won't be capturing a war criminal, but navigating the dangerous territory of her own heart, a journey that will force her to confront both her past and her carefully constructed walls of emotional defense. The Ballinger family didn't build their empire through conquest or inheritance. They survived to claim it from the ashes of civilization. Their origin story is written in blood and sacrifice, beginning in the darkest hours when 14-year-old Grayson Ballinger faced an unthinkable test. His grandfather, seeking to forge an unbreakable leader, ordered him to cut off his own finger as the only way in to leadership. This brutal initiation, performed before the remnant family of 22 survivors, established the foundation of the Bollinger Code: protect and defend at all costs, give one chance at mercy, and never apologize for decisions made in service of survival. Now, generations later, Jay Spollinger stands at the helm of this formidable dynasty, reluctantly assuming the mantle of Petrae following his father's unexpected death. The ancient tattoo stretching across his chest, an eagle clutching a banner inscribed with words in a forgotten tongue, proclaims their legitimacy as the First Kingdom, established decades before Morrigan or any other recognized realm claimed sovereignty. From their impregnable fortress of Torswatch, carved into the very mountains themselves, the Bollingers maintain ironclad control over Hell's Mouth, a strategic choke point that has become the lifeblood of regional commerce. Their authority manifests in multiple ways: collecting precise taxes from merchant caravans, administering swift justice to those who break their laws, and operating a sprawling trading arena that has grown exponentially since new treaties opened additional trade routes. Under Jace's leadership, the arena has tripled in size yearly, becoming an economic powerhouse that draws traders from across known territories. The Bollinger family structure is as complex as it is formidable, encompassing 78 members across multiple households, each with specific roles and responsibilities. At its core stands JC's immediate family: his shrewd mother Verlin, who maintains the family's political connections; his brothers, the tactical genius Gunnar, the diplomatic Mason, and the inseparable twins Samuel and Aram, who command their security forces. His sisters, Priya and Jelaine, manage internal affairs, while the youngest siblings, Nash and Lydia, are being groomed for future leadership roles. This tight-knit group presents an impenetrable united front to outsiders, while engaging in passionate strategic debates behind the fortress walls. Jace's leadership style reflects the evolution of Bollinger power, tempering his father's harsh pragmatism with calculated mercy. This approach is exemplified in his handling of Hagar, a trusted lieutenant pot-skimming profits from livestock auctions. Rather than immediate punishment, Jace publicly embraces him as family while privately imposing a double tithe for the next year, a perfect embodiment of the Bollinger principle of one chance at redemption. Yet threats to their dominion multiply daily. Rival cousin Paxton schemes from the shadows, gathering supporters who question Jace's worthiness to lead. Mysterious forces orchestrate increasingly bold attacks on Hell's Mouth, probing for weaknesses in Bollinger defenses. Foreign powers watch with growing interest, seeking ways to break the family's monopoly on regional trade. As the new Petrae, Jace must navigate these treacherous waters while upholding the legacy that cost his ancestors so dearly. However, his greatest challenge arrives in an unexpected form: a Vendon soldier, whose quick hands and quicker wit mask deeper mysteries. This woman will test not just his authority, but the very foundations of Bollinger power, forcing Jace to question whether ancient codes can survive in a changing world.
Fate has a peculiar sense of humor. After their first confrontation in Hell's Mouth, where Kazi holds a knife to Jaws's throat, unaware he's the new Patre, they find themselves captured by labor hunters and chained together at the ankle. Their escape from the wagon leaves them stranded in the wilderness, forced to rely on each other despite mutual suspicion and distrust. The iron shackles binding them become both a physical burden and an inescapable catalyst for change. Their journey through harsh terrain becomes a reluctant partnership of necessity, transforming from adversaries to unwilling allies. Every mundane task becomes a complex negotiation, from crossing streams to climbing rocky inclines, from gathering firewood to hunting for food. Even basic needs require careful coordination and uncomfortable intimacy. They develop a wordless dance of movement, learning to anticipate each other's steps and rhythms despite their initial resistance. "Do you suppose this could be part of making the best of it?" Jaws whispers as their faces draw unexpectedly close beneath the stars, their breath mingling in the cold night air. Despite knowing better, Kazi answers, "I think it could be." Their first kiss transforms their relationship, creating what Kazi calls a different world, temporary, upside down, dangerously sweet. This moment marks a pivotal shift where their forced proximity begins to yield to genuine connection. As they traverse the wilderness, they share fragments of their lives, their stories emerging like stepping stones across a river. Jaws explains the intricate symbolism of the Ballinger Crest, each element representing generations of family history and sacrifice. He tells haunting legends about ancient forests where trees grow from bone dust and hold trapped souls, his voice carrying the weight of centuries of oral tradition. Kazi, in turn, teaches him about wish stalks that can both nourish and heal, sharing the survival wisdom she learned on tour streets. Their conversations reveal unexpected depths, his philosophical nature and commitment to justice, her quick wit and fierce loyalty to those she considers family. When they narrowly escape death crossing Bone Channel during a flash flood, their shared brush with mortality shatters remaining pretenses. The rushing waters force them to trust completely in each other's strength and judgment. Jaws carries Kazi when her foot wrappings come undone, his gentle care contrasting sharply with his imposing presence. Later, as he tends to her blistered feet with surprising tenderness, the intimacy of the moment creates a different kind of vulnerability between them. Yet beneath their growing connection, both harbor devastating secrets. Kazi conceals her true identity as a Ra'tan assassin and her mission to capture a war criminal, a mission that will ultimately require betraying Jaws and his family. Meanwhile, Jaws withholds crucial information about his family's vast smuggling operations and their network of harbored fugitives. Their deepening feelings exist in a fragile bubble outside reality, a temporary sanctuary both secretly know cannot last. This forced journey becomes transformative for both characters, compelling them to question their fundamental beliefs. For Kazi, Jaws challenges her rigid view of justice and loyalty, showing her that truth often exists in shades of gray rather than absolute black and white. For Jaws, Kazi represents a world beyond the isolation of Hell's Mouth and the possibility of choosing his own path rather than simply inheriting the Ballinger legacy. Their physical chain may be temporary, but the emotional and psychological bonds they forge prove far more enduring and ultimately more challenging to break. Upon reaching Tor's Watch, Kazi and Jaase must navigate their complicated feelings while resuming their respective roles. For Kazi, this means continuing her mission to find Captain Ilarion while pretending to be Jaase's guest. For Jaase, it means balancing his new responsibilities as Petrei with his growing attachment to a woman who represents a potential threat to his family's autonomy. Their relationship becomes a delicate dance of truth and deception. When Jaase's family discovers Ren and Sanov are also Ra'tan, tensions escalate. To maintain her cover, Kazia agrees to write a letter asking the Queen to visit Tor's Watch, a request she knows the Queen will never grant. She cleverly embeds a coded warning about Golden Thanis, poison, to alert the Queen to danger while buying herself time to complete her mission. As Kazi integrates into Ballinger family life, she finds herself drawn into their complex dynamics. Priya warns her directly, "If you hurt my brother, I'll make sure that you regret it." The children, Nash and Ludia, embrace her warmly. Even Joss's mother, Verlin, shows unexpected kindness, revealing that Kazi is a Kandoran name meaning sweet arrow, that rare arrow that flies truer than the rest. Meanwhile, Jaase struggles with his growing feelings for Kazi while managing external threats. Suspicious fires in Hell's Mouth, attacks on caravans, and political maneuvering by rival leagues all demand his attention. When labor hunters attack their wagons returning from the Venden settlement, Jaase and Kazi fight side by side, their combat skills perfectly complementing each other. This shared battle temporarily bridges their divided loyalties. The emotional climax of their conflict comes when Kazi discovers the Previsi traitors, responsible for her mother's abduction, have operated from the Ballinger arena for 11 years. Her rage and trauma overwhelm her. The Previsi are predators and thieves, illegal in all kingdoms. When Joss tries to explain that every kingdom deals with them despite their questionable merchandise, she hits him and runs, overwhelmed by memories of being a helpless girl with nowhere to go. Later, when Joss confronts her about being Ten, the notorious thief, their argument reveals the depth of their conflict. He calls her a common thief, while she defends herself by revealing her childhood trauma. Their relationship seems irreparably damaged, yet neither can fully let go of what they've found in each other. This central tension between duty and desire, between past allegiances and present feelings, drives the emotional core of the story. Both characters must ultimately decide what they truly value and what they're willing to sacrifice for love. As the story approaches its climax, long-buried secrets surface with devastating consequences. Khazi discovers that Beaufort and his scholars, guests at Tor's Watch, whom Jace believes are developing weapons and a fever cure, are actually fugitives from justice. Captain Ilarion, the very war criminal she's been hunting, has been hiding in plain sight under Jace's protection. Simultaneously, Jace uncovers the identity of Zane, a former Previsi driver now working for the Ballingers, as the very man who abducted Khazi's mother years ago. Through brutal interrogation, Jace learns Zane was paid by someone named Devereaux to hire labor hunters, the same name Khazi stole from a note in King Monty's pocket. These revelations suggest a conspiracy reaching to the highest levels of power. The final betrayal comes when Khazi and her fellow Ratan attempt to capture the fugitives and escape Tor's Watch. They drug the Ballinger family's dinner with Birchwing's sedative and steal into Dark Cottage where the fugitives are housed. But Jace had anticipated their plan, switching the Birchwings with salt and having his family pretend to fall asleep. When confronted by the entire Ballinger clan and their guards, Khazi makes a desperate choice. She takes Jace hostage, holding a knife to his throat. "You were planning this all along," he accuses, his eyes glistening with betrayal. She counters that he harbored killers and lied to her. In the standoff, Gunner appears with Zane in his grip, offering a trade. They're prisoners for Khazi's mother's abductor. This moment crystallizes their impossible situation. Khazi must choose between completing her mission and confronting the man who destroyed her childhood. Jace must reconcile his feelings for Khazi with her apparent betrayal. Their carefully constructed relationship shatters under the weight of their conflicting loyalties. As they journey to Venda with the prisoners, bitter words are exchanged. "They infiltrated Tor's Watch under false pretenses, violated my family's trust, put them at risk, made promises they had no intention of keeping. They betrayed us," Jace accuses. "So tell me, how are they different from you?" These revelations force both characters to confront uncomfortable truths about themselves and each other. Khazi must acknowledge that justice isn't always black and white, while Jace must recognize that his family's independence doesn't place them above kingdom laws. Their relationship, built during their time chained together, now faces its greatest test: whether love can survive when built on a foundation of secrets and divided loyalties. The journey to Venda forces both Khazi and Joss to confront painful truths. As they travel through Sentinel Valley, where 20,000 died in a single day, the magnitude of Captain Ilarion's crimes becomes viscerally clear. For the first time, Joss witnesses the devastating consequences of harboring a war criminal: massive graves, scattered bones, and the lingering ghosts of those who perished. When they reach Queen Leia's court, Joss faces execution for his role in protecting fugitives. Despite everything, Khazi advocates for him, explaining to the Queen how the Ballingers were manipulated by Beaufort's false promises of a fever cure for Joss's mother and siblings. She reveals that Joss never intended to set a trap for the Queen. His world was Hell's Mouth and Tor's Watch, not grand schemes of conquest. The Queen proposes an unexpected solution. Tor's Watch could become the 13th kingdom of the Alliance, with Joss as its legitimate ruler. This recognition would establish the Ballingers' authority once and for all, everything generations of Ballingers had dreamed of achieving. But there's a condition. The Queen wants to send a trusted representative, an ambassador, to keep an eye on him. When the queen suggests Kazi for this role, she initially refuses, believing everyone in Tor's watch despises her after her betrayal. Not everyone, Joss tells her, crossing the room to pull her into his arms. I love you, Kazi of Brightmist, and I will never stop loving you, not through a thousand tomorrows. Come back with me, please. In this moment of vulnerability and truth, Kazi finally confesses her love too, saying, Lepavi Aina, I love you, and they embrace, weaving themselves together so nothing can separate them again. Their reconciliation represents a new beginning built on honesty rather than deception. As they prepare to return to Tor's watch, they discuss the mysterious Devereaux, who seems to be orchestrating attacks against the Ballingers, possibly working with Paxton or one of the five leagues hungry for control of Hellsmouth. They agree to work together without secrets, combining Kazi's investigative skills with Jace's knowledge of local politics to uncover the truth. Their redemption comes through mutual sacrifice and compromise. Joss must surrender some of his family's absolute independence to join the Alliance of Kingdoms. Kazi must balance her loyalty to the Queen with her love for Joss. Together, they forge a new path that honors both their pasts while creating a shared future. As Kazi and Jace prepare to return to Tor's Watch as representatives of a new alliance between the Ballingers and Venda, their happiness is tempered by lingering questions. The weight of their diplomatic success mingles with growing unease about threats lurking in the shadows. Who is the mysterious Devereaux orchestrating attacks against Hell's Mouth? Their investigations have revealed only fragments, coded messages, whispered rumors, and bodies left in alleys. What role does King Monte of Icelandia play in this conspiracy? His recent aggressive posturing and military buildup along the borders raise alarming possibilities. And how will the Ballinger family react to their new status as the 13th Kingdom, a transformation that challenges centuries of fierce independence? Their journey forward won't be easy. Jace must convince his family, especially the more traditional members like Gunnar, who still cling to the old ways, to accept this new arrangement. The Ballinger legacy of autonomy runs deep, carved into the very stones of Tor's Watch. Each family member carries their own reservations. Gunnar fears the loss of their identity, Nash worries about divided loyalties, and even young Priya questions whether they can trust Venda's promises. Kazi must navigate her dual roles as the Queen's ambassador and Jace's partner, maintaining loyalties to both without compromising either. Her position is particularly delicate, as some in Venda view her relationship with Jace as a potential weakness, while certain Ballingers still regard her with suspicion. The final ominous note comes when a mysterious figure discovers a dead bird shot down by arrows in the forests near Tor's Watch. The bird carried an urgent message from Jelaine, written in her characteristic, hurried scrawl. Jace, Kazi, anyone, come, please. Samuel is dead. They're banging the door. I have to. The note was incomplete, the parchment torn and spotted with blood, suggesting Jelaine barely had time to release the bird before being interrupted. Samuel's death, the steady, reliable steward who helped raise Jace, marks a devastating blow to the family's stability. This chilling development suggests that enemies have already moved against Tor's Watch in their absence. The conspiracy runs deeper than they imagined, with tentacles reaching into multiple kingdoms and threatening their hard-won happiness. The figure mysteriously revives the bird using ancient magic not seen in generations, sending it away from Tor's Watch with its warning message, an enigmatic act that raises more questions than it answers and hints at powers moving in the shadows that neither Kazi nor Jace fully understand. As Kazi and Jace ride toward home, unaware of the danger awaiting them, their story embodies the central theme of the novel, that true strength comes not from walls or weapons, but from the courage to trust another with your heart. Their love has grown from suspicion to trust, from duty to choice, proving that the strongest bonds are those freely given. Their dance of thieves, of stolen moments, stolen glances, and ultimately stolen hearts, continues, moving to a rhythm of their own making rather than the steps others would force upon them. In the words of Jace's riddle to Kazi, spoken during their first night together in the wilderness, I am a prisoner, bound not by chains, but by something far stronger. I am bound by love. Their journey reminds us that sometimes the most valuable things we can steal are moments of connection in a fractured world, and that the greatest risk is not in trusting others, but in failing to trust ourselves to love despite the certainty of loss. As they approach Tor's Watch, their intertwined destinies represent hope in a darkening world, proving that love can bridge the deepest divides and heal the oldest wounds. In the words of Jace's riddle to Kazi, spoken during their first night together in the wilderness, I am a prisoner, bound not by chains, but by something far stronger. I am bound by love. Their journey reminds us that sometimes the most valuable things we can steal are moments of connection in a fractured world, and that the greatest risk is not in trusting others, but in failing to trust ourselves to love despite the certainty of loss. As they approach Tor's Watch, their intertwined destinies represent hope in a darkening world, proving that love can bridge the deepest divides and heal the oldest wounds.